Welcome to episode 67 of Talk Eastern Europe, a podcast dedicated to discussing all things related to Central and Eastern Europe and the official podcast of the New Eastern Europe magazine. This podcast is a listener-supported podcast, and our patrons donate to us via our Patreon page, for which we are extremely grateful. If you enjoy listening to Talk Eastern Europe and want even more, please support us at www.patreon.com/talkeasterneurope. Make sure to listen to the end of this episode for our traditional Patreon shout-out. My name is Adam Reichert, and with me is the other co-host of Talk Eastern Europe, Maciek Mikulski. Hi, Maciek.
Hi, Adam. Hello, listeners. Thank you for joining us. Each week, we bring you an in-depth discussion on a certain topic related to our region. And this week, we are coming back to Belarus and the ongoing protests to brutal repressions of the Lukashenko regime. As a reminder, this podcast is a member of the Europod Network, which is a network of European podcasts that covers various views on political and social trends in Europe and beyond.
Thanks, Maciek. I am really looking forward to this episode, so let's get started. So in this episode, we are coming back to Belarus. I think it's a topic of obvious reasons is very important to the region of Central and Eastern Europe, but also is one that we haven't covered for quite some time. We did a special audio documentary series called The Story of Belarus, and if you haven't listened to that yet, I highly recommend you check it out. We go through culture, history, economy.
We look identity at the issues.
Identity, mm-hmm. Exactly. All different elements of Belarus, particularly since the fall of the Soviet Union, and looking to the future. But now we're looking at the present, which is the ongoing situation with the protests. And Maciek, who are we talking to today?
Our guest is Aleksandr Czachowski, from the Belarusian Culture Solidarity Foundation. This is an interesting NGO based in Estonia, but of course their main focus is Belarus. And like the starting point of our discussion is a campaign against Belarusian television and radio company, which is a public radio and television broadcaster in Belarus. And, you know, this Belarusian Cultural Solidarity Foundation initiated a campaign which aims to deprive Belarusian public broadcaster membership in the European Broadcasting Union. Mm. And I think I need to clarify a little bit what is the European Broadcasting Union, because it's a specific alliance of public service media organization in Europe. It has a long history. It was established in 1950, and there are about 115 member organizations from 56 countries.
It's mostly known for one big event, right?
Exactly. And yeah. This event is Eurovision Song Contest. And yeah. Now, you know, one may think that, okay, but Eurovision Song Contest, it's not like the most important thing to talk regarding the political situation in Belarus. And I even agree. I must admit that, you know, I don't know even who won recent editions of Eurovision Song Contest.
I don't ask me either.
I don't follow it at all. But nevertheless, I wanted to talk about with Aleksandr about their campaign, because it serves to be as an example what civil society in Belarus can do, what channels they can use or tools they can use to try to delegitimize the regime of Lukashenko, or if not delegitimize, at least to raise awareness in different European circles about the situation in Belarus. But not only, you know, those European bodies which are aware of the situation, like European Parliament or at least some groups of members of the European Parliament. Now I would like to come back to this, you know, documentary series you already mentioned we did last year, because one of our guest speakers, Viktor Marcinovich, told us when we asked him about what can be done for Belarus, he said that, you know, this is a task for Belarusians mainly. the West, the world cannot do too much, in his opinion. But what he underlined was that simply it would be great if you stay aware, if you share the knowledge about Belarus, if you are vocal about different issues that taking place in Belarus, and you try to understand simply situation yeah. there. So we must be interested in, and I think this is important. So I wanted to show this as an example, and I think Alexander explains in interesting way what they do, because it's not about this campaign. He explains broader context, of course, of their activity, what they do, and I think this is simply valuable mission they have. And yeah, this is the context of the interview.
And as you mentioned, it's really important to raise awareness through different means and different channels to put pressure on the regime. This is a very interesting approach, because the Eurovision Song Contest is a different audience. Like, you know, it's, as you mentioned, it's reaching broader masses. And I think also if they ban Belarus from participating, you know, it's just another sign that Lukashenko has lost, you know, legitimacy and power. And I think it would hurt not that he's very popular anymore in society, yeah. but it's just another sign that, you know, Belarus is becoming more isolated because of the regime, and this has to change.
Exactly. And, you know, it is interesting also from that point of view that they simply, like, quite small NGO, which is probably not very well known in the world, in Europe, was able to attract another European institution to simply and make them think about it. Yeah, so they should respond. They already respond to them. Yeah, but of course I don't want to reveal what is explained by Alexander in the interview.
Exactly. I think now is a good time for us to move into that interview. So let's listen now to Maciek and Alexander Chavosky from the Belarusian Culture Solidarity Foundation.
Alexander Chachowski from the Belarusian Cultural Solidarity Foundation. Hello, Alexander. Welcome to Talk Eastern Europe.
Hello, Matej.
I would like to divide our conversation into two parts, if possible. Firstly, I want to discuss with you your foundation's campaign against the Belarusian television and radio company. And later on, I would like to ask you about the situation of media and journalists in Belarus 6 months since the protests against Lukashenko erupted. So let's start maybe with the first topic, with the campaign. If I understand correctly, in January this year, your foundation has sent an open letter to the European Broadcasting Union, in which you proposed the exclusion of Belarusian television and radio company, which is the Belarusian public radio and television broadcaster, from the European Broadcasting Union. And this initiative was supported by Svetlana Tsikhanouskaya and also by the Belarusian Coordination Council, so we can say the main representatives of the Belarusian opposition. And one of the consequences of the expulsion of the Belarusian broadcaster from IBU would be a ban on broadcasting Eurovision Song Contest, which means that Belarus would not be represented in the contest itself, because it's public broadcaster who nominates the artist for the contest. So could you give us an update on that issue? Because I know you already received a response from the European Broadcasting Union, which was, as I understand, only partially satisfactory for you. So at what stage the campaign is right now?
Okay, Yes, thank you very much for this invitation and for your attention to this very important issue for us, for Belarusians, not only for Belarusian opposition initiatives. I must say that what we are doing in general for the moment is that we are trying to find some legal ways to make pressure for regime of Alexander Lukashenko, and because obviously the regime and authorities, they're absolutely illegitimate, and our protests starting, let's say, maybe earlier than August, but the August was a kind of milestone for, you know, starting mass protests. It's 100% peaceful and 100% in legal ways. So what we are doing, we are trying to convince different European structures to support us, to help us with this in our campaigns. Because media, state media in Belarus, they are full of propaganda, and due to reports of Belarusian associations of journalists and monitoring company Media IQ, they have more than 60% of propaganda on, for example, BLT Radio Company. And they have around 90% of violations of journalistic standards and ethics, journalistic ethics. And in news, they have around 90% of ideological senses regarding all this, their journalistics, you know, information. So, it is very strange if everyone understands that the regime is illegitimate and it shouldn't be at the moment because of unbelievable, you know, violations and torture and in all spheres, and for addressing to the absolute majority of Belarusians, and there is a bigger broadcaster who is basically kind of advocate lawyer, let's say media lawyer of regime, but this broadcaster is in European Broadcasting Union, working with, collaborating with basically other broadcasters who follow absolutely different values in media. And what we wrote to EBU, that they failed with many points regarding the EBU statute. So it's, you know, EBU declares that there are public service media values, public service media ethics and standards. And but built a radio company, they don't follow that, so we have to do something with that, and we're trying to find some legal ways to make some pressure, because it's a part of regime, and they're repeating and do it again, some propaganda, some disinformation of Belarusians, because, you know, people in villages and old people, they are not in internet, and what they have, talking about information, they receive the information from television, and in television it's you know, it's not a truthful picture. It's just propaganda of regime. So we decided that we have to find kind of support in Europe, in European Broadcasting Union, because we need to, you know, we need to finish it somehow.
Okay, I understand. I think you made it very clear what your strategy is, and regarding the campaign itself, what are your next steps, and what do you think, what are the chances that EBU will agree with your postulates?
I should say that they are in the topic anyway. They care about what is happening in Belarus, and particularly with the Belta Radio Company. As far as I know, there was a meeting of executive board of EBU last week, and they have discussed the issue, and the issue is on the top, let's say. And the problem that they have, that, there are some points that Belta Radio Company doesn't follow. But the ridiculous thing is that they don't have mechanism, they don't have a procedure, what they can do with that. I mean, there is no kind of, you know, document, there is no kind of internal rule how to influence in this case, how to do, to make some sanctions. So, but this problem, as I said, is very hot. And I think there will be some actions. And I should also add that, as you mentioned, we are also care very much about Eurovision Song Contest, because what's happening now? Artists and musicians who, a lot of artists and musicians in Belarus, they ban Eurovision national selection, for example, and they declare publicly that they not deal with state media for any kind of project. And Belta Radio Company, for the moment, they have just very few artists who want to go to Eurovision. But all these artists, they're like, you know, in very tight relationship with Lukashenko. And as far as we know from our information, there are, let's say, like top three artists who knows him personally. And he always invites, you know, for kind of private events and for public events. So they are kind of, you know, favorite musicians who are, you know, the best guests for any kind of event. And it means that if they go to Rotterdam, it's kind of strange thing. Europe doesn't recognize the regime itself. Europe considers the regime like illegitimate. And basically what we have, the broadcaster who is a part of the regime, choose one of music bands or musicians who are also in very tight connection with Lukashenko, who go and basically integrate in some cultural European project. It's kind of double standards. It shouldn't be like this. I mean, And what we are doing, we're trying, as we say, we're just trying to help them to understand the situation better. So that's why we are also keep in touch. And after that first letter, we already sent two more letters with explanations, with our statements, as you mentioned, together with other institution and political initiatives. So our idea is not, you know, try to push them, I mean EBU, but the idea is try to involve with full information and to get a support with the legal instruments.
I see, yeah. So it is also a way to put some pressure in a bit positive meaning on some European structure in order to attract them about the situation in Belarus in general. And in the same time, it's in a way also a mean to put pressure on the regime, because if you succeed, then it means that Belarusian regime will lost part of its, like, let's say, international recognition or legitimization. That simply, to put it simply, more and more people will know that the situation in Belarus requires attention from the international audience, right?
Absolutely. I have to add that we contact also not only with EBU management, but also with the European Union parliamentarians and the European press, and we are also in touch with the European Eurovision singers who participated in previous years. Because, mm-hmm. you know, we are trying to...
From Belarus, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Not only from Belarus, from other countries, because mm-hmm. we want that people in Europe, we would like that people in Europe hear our voice, hear our position, and not collaborating with the regime. So if some, you know, Eurovision winners will post something related to our initiative in their social media, it's just, you know, attracting some more attention, because obviously in general people in Europe, they are not really in the topic, you know, they don't really understand all these details that we're just discussing with you right now. Mm-hmm. So our idea is just to explain why it is so bad and why it shouldn't be like this, like regime wants. So, and I should add that maybe you've heard recently a Europarlamenter from Sweden, Karin Karlsbro, so she announced that they gather kind of a petition in European Union Parliament, within European Union Parliament, to ban Belarus in Eurovision this year. So it gives us also some, you know, some enthusiasm, and it is motivated us, and we are very grateful for this kind of support.
Yeah, I want to ask you about this international response, because as you said, the voice flow from Belarusian opposition civil society has to be heard in as many places as possible. And I want to ask you about your assessment about the response from the EU, from the West, to the crisis in Belarus. Of course, we always can say that more should be done, but I am particularly interested in your assessment about that. How do you think the West in general reacted to the crisis in Belarus?
Well, as I said, we feel this support in, I think, in all, in most countries, and in basically in all spheres. Maybe you remember the case of cancellation of ice hockey world championship.
Yes.
Pretty much the same situation, right? And you've heard something about sanctions. And by the way, interesting information that the head of Eurovision delegation, mm-hmm. The chairman of Belt Radio Company, Ivan Eismond, he is under personal sanctions by European Union. So it's also kind of not really, you know, clear situation. So if the broadcaster goes there with some artist, but the head of delegation, you know, is banned, how it's possible? I mean,
yeah, I probably they would replace him, yeah, by someone else.
But it is also a sign, you know.
Mm-hmm. True. True, I agree.
So, continuing answering your question, I should say that we see this support from human rights defenders. We see this support from media. I should say that for the moment, it is not maybe Belarus is not on the first place because, you know, so many things are happening. And it was a huge wave of different things happened in Russia, for example, with Navalny and other things. But it is also our aim to be on this, you know, to say something through European media, because it for some people it seems to be that okay, it's kind of maybe not so bad as it was, but internal terror is just growing and growing. It's mm-hmm. we call it real fascism of 21st century, real genocide addressing to their own people, you know, the authorities, genocide addressing to own people. So it's unbelievable case. And what we do, we're trying to be like within information lane in Europe, and we see this support. And for example, now Svetlana Tikhanovskaya is in official trip in Finland, in Portugal, and in Switzerland, and I think it is very, for us it is very important to receive as much support as we can do, because, you know, external pressure to the regime it can achieve maybe our victory for freedom sooner, let's say like this.
Okay, I think this international context is pretty clear right now. I want to also ask about more internal situation about that. Do you think that an average Belarusian is aware of such campaigns as yours? Maybe not that one particularly. The reason I'm asking is that when the protests against Lukashenko started, a lot of people repeated that this is the time when Belarusian society has awakened, which means that more people started to be simply interested in political, social matters, and yeah, they started to feel more responsible for the state, for the society. So this is also a question about the support of the NGOs by Belarusian today. Do you think in this matter something has already changed?
I should say that that is true. It was kind of, you know, compromise for like almost 26 years. And a lot of people leave and just take it as it is, you know. Many people understand that it shouldn't be like this, but, you know, it was a kind of compromise. Mm-hmm. But then there were some people who are in jail, I mean, like candidates for president. Right. And people felt that maybe it's a chance. And, you know, they were motivated, they were like in kind of enthusiasm, I don't know, because the majority, the absolute majority, they want to have some changes, you know. If you as a state declare that you're a democratic state, the president and the government, they should change somehow, you know, from time to time, because, you know, it's democracy rules. I don't defend Lukashenko, but I think, you know, he's somewhere on other planet. Mm-hmm. He doesn't understand what is happening for real. Mm-hmm. This is his main problem. And of course, his team doing these disgusting things like, you know, violence and torture, it's another topic. But I think Belarusians united so much. They helped each other. Maybe you saw and maybe you read about how we did our marches in summer and in autumn when there was, you know, nothing like non-rubbish left. Mm-hmm. You know, true. Like several hundred thousand people and non-rubbish at all. 100% peaceful, not aggressive at all. When it was hot summer, hot August, volunteers just, you know, bring water. It was amazing. I mean, I was so impressed. I mean, it gives you so much nice emotions. I mean, you really discover, you know, your neighbors, your friends even, or just, mm-hmm. you know, other citizens. I used to live in Minsk. As absolutely different person and so creative because their posters were like, you know, so great, satirical and intellectual. And yes, we were awakened. And I think it was a very good motivation to do something. Mm-hmm. Yes, and about solidarity, unfortunately, we can not work like NGO, like we, our foundation, or other initiatives legally in Belarus. So we're registered in different countries. Our foundation is officially registered in Estonia. Mm-hmm. What we see that Belarusian people are still supporting, for example, we are dealing mostly with the repressed cultural figures, artists, poets, musicians, actors, stage directors, etc. And we see that people, other people who can do some support, I don't know, with $1 or with, I don't know, $1,000, they do that. And mm-hmm. I want to also mention a very interesting thing that about Belarusians outside Belarus, about diasporas. It is very interesting because in some countries, they were not real diasporas as, you know, kind of unit or kind of group of people who just at least know each other. Mm-hmm. Of course, in United States, in Canada, in, for example, in Poland, because many Belarusians live there and they consider them like Belarusians, they did have this. But in other countries, not really, you know. But now, almost in every country, we have kind of diasporas. In some countries, more people. In some countries, less. And it gives them some energy, some motivation. And it is very great support from them addressed to Belarusians in Belarus and to other initiatives. I just can give you an example. We have a kind of project on our YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. Because of pandemia, we cannot organize live concerts, but we can organize online concerts. And we have a series of concerts with the hashtag Victory Artists, collaborating with the artists, with musicians who were repressed somehow, were in jail, were fined, or someone who was forced to move to another country. in this case, we give them the opportunity to share their creativity and art and music, to receive, of course, some support with the fee for that. And we're also collaborating with diasporas because, for example, diasporas from different countries, they cover production expenses for this project. And it's very nice, it's very helpful, and it's great support. So I think this kind of solidarity is one of the most important, feature or element of our all nations and, you know, of all this struggle for freedom.
Okay. In the last part of our discussion, I would like to focus a bit more on the situation of journalists. You already mentioned them, and I think this is very important because we have heard about journalists who are already in prison or have heard criminal charges, and very recently Katarzyna Barysiewicz was recently found guilty of disclosing some medical secret information in an article that concerned the beating to death of Roman Bandarenka by most likely secret officers. But it was, of course, not isolated case of fighting the media by Lukashenko right now. So can you try at least to describe us the scale, the real scale of repressions against journalists in Belarus?
Yes, the repressions addressed to journalists, it's absolutely, you know, unbelievable and crazy. I should say that, you know, it seems to me like it could be the same like in Northern Korea, you know. The journalists are just jailed for their job. It's absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely. The case with Bondarenko is more than ridiculous because Bondarenko was killed. And there is no still criminal investigation, no results of this investigation. So somebody killed him. And, you know, more than 3 months left. None of updates regarding this. But the journal, but the doctor who because police firstly said that he was drunk, and in reports of doctor,
you mean Bandarenko?
Bandarenko, yes. Mm-hmm. He was like drunk, and you know, they need to find some, you know, tricky things to, you know, to make him guilty. Yeah. But the conclusion of by doctor was written that he was absolutely, you know, undrunk. I mean, he was, you know, in absolute normal conscience. Mm-hmm. And Katerina Borisevich, she published it. And it was approved, these all things was approved, was with the agreement of mother of Roman Bondarenko. Mm-hmm. So the same, another example of disgusting things, what absolute not normal things from the from authorities and from security service, and from the other side, some, like we say, surrealism, you know, situation regarding doctor for doing his job and regarding the journalist Katerina Borisevich. Yes, and unfortunately there is not only one case, because Secret Service, they hunt for press club, they hunt for Belarusian Association of Journalists. We have 9 journalists in prison. Mm-hmm. Who are recognized as political prisoners. And it's absolutely a strange situation because, I mean, they're just jailed for their job, for saying truth. Well, also other Belarusians are also jailed for just saying truth. So it's not a big surprise, but it's a big pain. It's a real drama, you know, for every Belarusian. And regarding this issue, we're also trying to find some support. And also regarding moving back to EBU, we're trying to give them as much information as possible that they have to be in topic and to follow and to help us to make some statements regarding this. Maybe it will be a kind of signal, kind of sign for Belgian Radio Company and other broadcasters and for the regime. So, but what is happening with journalists is absolutely out of any journalistic ethics and
standards,
yes.
Yeah, it's not only strange, as you said, but also horrible. Regarding Katsharina Bareshevich herself, what might be the near future for her? Does she have any opportunity to appeal against this judgment, or it's done for a moment?
So for the moment, they give her 6 months of prison, and as she was already for 3 months in prison, she needs to be there for 3 months more.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly saying, I don't know exactly. Will they do some appellation or not? I'm not really in this topic. Maybe yes, I don't know. And what she will be doing later when she will be free, also just kind of guessing, but
yeah, of course,
not sure. We don't know. Maybe I know that the main the largest internet portal, Tutbai, she is working for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and maybe I think they're also, you know, under pressure, under authorities' pressure, and so maybe they will find a solution for her, but I don't know. Let's see. Maybe, you know, maybe the regime will fall in 1 or 2 months and everything will be fine. It sounds strange, but unfortunately we live, like, you know, day by day, because the situation is also changing day by day.
Yeah, you are right. We cannot predict the situation. It's very dynamic. Alexander, I think we have to stop here because we are running out of time. Unfortunately, now we cannot end with a positive note, but hopefully we will be able to do so in near future. But I would like to thank you very much for joining us and sharing your insights. And definitely we will be watching closely how the situation in Belarus unfolds. Thank you again for joining us today.
Yes, thank you very much, Maciej, for this invitation. And thank you for your support. And we really appreciate it. And we stay in touch. Thank you very much.
Bye.
And that was Maciek's interview with Alexander Chavosky from the Belarusian Culture Solidarity Foundation, an NGO based in Estonia, Thank you, Maciek, for having this interview. I thought it was very interesting to hear this innovative and unique way to raise awareness on the situation in Belarus. And it's so key because so many people are worried, especially in the country, that the West and the European Union and Europeans are starting to lose attention on what's happening in the country. There's so many other things that are happening in the world. And, you know, we haven't defeated this pandemic yet, being number one. If we can find these types of innovative approaches to raise awareness of what's happening in Belarus among different European societies, of course, us being in Poland, you know, we see it all the time. We're very close to it, but others who are much farther away, I'm thinking, you know, like in Portugal or even in Italy or Greece, for example, right? In other European countries, Belarus is not on the top of the agenda, and a lot of the societies are less aware of what's happening there. So this is a really good good discussion and good method that I very much support.
Yeah, and you know, this is of course one case, one NGO, one campaign, but I think this is important to collect such cases, because as we discuss also starting from last August when the protest against Lukashenko started, you know, this whole process was called like the awakening of Belarusians. Yeah, so one dimension of this awakening, I think, is also empowering of civil society in Belarus. So so from that point of view, I think we have to keep watching the situation, share information about such initiatives, because only then we will be able to say if Belarusian society is really ready to say that, yeah, okay, we have like growing, strengthening civil society.
Right, exactly. And I think it would be really interesting. Maybe this is a discussion we can have in our Facebook group, is what are some other ways that you know of or that you think that we should look at in terms of raising the awareness in unique ways, and how civil society in Belarus is being innovative to get this to get their issue on the agenda of the Europeans.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you all for listening to this part of episode, and now I think we can move to our third part, traditional part,
the most important part, because,
the most important part, at least for us, but of course discussing issues is also important for us, but in this part we can express that we are very grateful for the support we get from the community of our supporters.
That's right,
from the community of our patrons, and this is also the time when we do traditional shout out of patrons mentioned in the beginning of the episode.
That's right. It's the sacred group, the elite group of our listeners. And if you'd like to join, if you're out there and you haven't checked out our Patreon page, you can go to patreon.com/talkeasterneurope. We also, you know, we include there the videos of our recent meetings that we had that were for patrons only. We also have a lot of behind the scenes. So if you know, some recent some pictures from recent interviews that we've taken, you can see them in our Patreon page. Something extra for our patrons. And
Adam, yes. I have a question because I'm not sure if previous meetings with special guests for patrons are also available, because
yes,
you know, we have once we met with with Viktor Marcinovich.
That's right.
And
that's
we talked about the Belarus, and I think it can be even worth it to listen in the context of this episode.
That's I completely agree, and it was a really fascinating discussion. I think we had it in December before the holiday. And so I will even link here in the show notes. So if you are a patron that's listening to us, you can just click it and go to it and see it if you didn't watch it yet. But others who are interested can also go and see it, and by joining our patron page. So there are a lot of benefits, including those who give us $10 a month or more. They also get exclusive access to New Eastern Europe content. So we want to give as much as we can, as we are so grateful for you giving to us. And I just want to say hello to all of our patrons, who some of you have been with us for over 2 years now, including Pierre, Stephanie, Mark, Jason, Janos, Erica, Elizabeth, David, Wilhelm, Scapeghost, Sophia, Ian, Urs, Pavel, William, Anastasia, David, Sean, Elise, JP, Sylvia, Naomi, Amy, Sean, Plamen, Klaus, Pat, CB, Marina, Lorenzo, and Jane. Thank you so much for your support of the Talk Eastern Europe podcast. It really means a lot to us.
Thank you all for listening to this episode. I think that's it for today. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.